ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, Verse, Text 44. Chiravasa Vrataksama
Chiravasa Vrataksama
Chiravasa Vrataksama
Chiravasa Vrataksama
Veni Bhuta Shiro Ruha
Veni Bhuta Shiro Ruha
Veni Bhuta Shiro Ruha Bhavupapatim Shanta Bhavupapatim Shanta
Bhavupapatim Shanta
Shika Shantam Ivanalam
Shika Shantam Ivanalam
Shika Shantam Ivanalam
Shika Shantam Ivanalam
Chiravasa Vrataksama
Chiravasa
Veni Bhuta Shiro Ruha
Veni Bhuta Shiro Ruha
Vabhavupapatim
Shanta Vabhavupapatim
Shanta Shika Shantam Ivanalam
Shika Shantam Ivanalam
Chiravasa Wearing old garments Vrataksama Lean and thin and on account of austerities. Beni Bhuta Entangled. Shiroruha Her hair. Babhav She shone. Upapatim Near the husband. Shanta Peaceful. Shika, flames. Shantam, without being agitated. Iva, like. Analam, fire. Translation for Prabhupada. The daughter of King Vidarbha wore old garments and she was lean and thin because of her vows of austerity. Since she did not arrange her hair, it became entangled and twisted in locks. Although she remained always near her husband, she was as silent and unagitated as the flame of an undisturbed fire. Purport. When one begins to burn firewood, there is smoke and agitation in the beginning. Although there are so many disturbances in the beginning, once the fire is completely set, the firewood burns steadily. Similarly, when both husband and wife follow the regular principles of austerity, they remain silent and are not agitated by sex impulses. At such a time, both husband and wife are benefited spiritually. One can attain this stage of life by completely giving up a luxurious mode of life. In this verse, the word chiravasa refers to very old torn garments. The wife especially should remain austere, not desiring luxurious dresses and living standards. She should accept only the bare necessities of life and minimize her eating and sleeping. There should be no question of mating. Simply by engaging in the service of her exalted husband, who must be a pure devotee, the wife will never be agitated by sex impulses. The Vanaprastha stage is exactly like this. Although the wife remains with the husband, she undergoes severe austerities and penances so that, although both husband and wife live together, there is no question of sex. In this way, both husband and wife can live together perpetually. Since the wife is weaker than the husband, this weakness expressed in this verse with the word upapatim. Upa means near to or almost equal to. Being a man, the husband is generally more advanced and then his wife. Nonetheless, the wife is expected to give up all luxurious habits. She should not even dress nicely or comb her hair. You all listening, huh? Hair completely is one of the main business of women. In the Vanaprastha stage of life, the wife should not take care of her hair. Thus her hair will become tangled in knots. Consequently, the wife will no longer be attracted to the husband, and she herself will no longer be agitated by sex impulses. In this way, both husband and wife can advance in spiritual consciousness. This advanced stage is called the Paramahamsa stage. And once it is obtained, both husband and wife can be actually liberated from bodily consciousness. If the disciple remains steady in the service of the spiritual master, he need no longer fear falling down into the clutches of Maya. Hare Krishna. Yeah, so that is the platform of Krishna consciousness. It's a very high standard practice of devotional service. So there's no mucking around. In Krishna consciousness, everything is a high standard. It is proper speaking here in this purport is talking the high standard of devotional service. So you may be thinking, oh God, I'm not anything like that. What Prabhupada is speaking in the purport, I'm very lowly devotee. But Bhagavatam points out the standard of devotional service, the standard of Krishna consciousness is that we have to achieve for that. The principles of devotional service, we maybe say, oh, we are just in the beginning level, but it's all part of the process. Like if you're trying to climb up the mountain, you're in the foothills, but still we are in the process of getting there. So the platform of devotional service, even though in the beginning stages, it is still transcendental, nonetheless. So for neophyte devotee, beginning devotees, talking about the grihastha particularly, and what is the standard of our process of Krishna consciousness? We're saying, I'm just practicing, but even after 40 years, oh, I'm still practicing. We are required to come to the standard right from the beginning, actually. Well, if you're actually sincere practicing Krishna consciousness, if you're sincere enough, we will be aspiring for it right from the beginning. So, the Goswamis of Vrindavan and many of the acharyas, they set such high standard of Krishna consciousness. They are our acharyas, our Guru Maharajas. And you can see Srila Prabhupada himself was, we saw with our own eyes, Srila Prabhupada is the opposite to the Goswamis. He was riding in the car and flying the airplane, and he's the one who introduced in the Hare Krishna movement grihastha life. If you go to Gaurya Math, they don't have grihasthas there. And so Srila Prabhupada took it to the next level of Krishna consciousness. Because he can see a sadhu, a pure devotee, an acharya. He sees beyond how to engage everybody in Krishna service. So if he made conditions, and it will be very difficult for every one of us to serve Krishna. If our ashram and our society is only for sannyasis and brahmacharis, that will be impossible. Because I've seen from many, many years, all my friends, they're like strict brahmachari. But they're all grihasthas now.
Strict grihasthas.
Strict grihasthas. So I'm going to get to that. Grihastha doesn't mean a sense gratification. A good brahmachari can make a good grihastha, as they say.
Grihastha doesn't mean unlimited sanskara vacation. In fact, it is more responsibility. Brahmachari is going, ha ha ha, he's going living around in ashram, everyone's taken care of, you just have to do a little bit of service. But Grihastha is really full on, isn't it? You have to, Grihastha means family man, you need to, provide, find a job. And there's just a lot of intensity in there. And at the same time, you have to be Krishna conscious. You need to chant your rounds and come to the program, follow the four agastya principles. So there's a lot of hardship in there. But Prabhupada said, when one becomes a grihastha, 70% your chances become less. Means, because that all the time that you need to serve Krishna become less, because you need to get a job, you need to get so many things are involved via grihastha. So at the same time, Krishna sees our sincerity. Krishna sees our endeavor. Even though in the midst of all that difficulty, try to raise a family, you still want to become Krishna Bhakta. You still want to become Krishna conscious, and you want to chant your rounds nicely. So that endeavor itself is the very Krishna is seeing that, your love for Krishna. And I think Mataji's should dress up nicely, wear ornaments, wear silk sari, and you come to the temple. So it's attractive. You come in here all ragged clothes and very renowned, and hairs going everywhere, matted hair. They're going to think these guys are hippies. They're not going to come to the temple. Srila Prabhupada, he introduced opulent temple. Look at this temple. I was very much attracted to the Hare Krishna movement because I saw the opulent of it. When I lived in Sydney, I always wanted to come to Melbourne. Who wants to go to Melbourne to do Sankirtan? Me! Because they had such nice Prasadam here, such opulent temple. I always wanted to be here. But they always had fights between two temples. They want to make sure that you don't steal the brahmacharis from that temple. So there is a swap. This was going on. But if I'm attracted to a temple, people who come here, they're attracted to Hare Krishna. They say, wow, such a beautiful place, such an opulent place. I want to be here. So this is the idea behind all this opulent, is that we become attracted to Krishna. So we accept the opulence on behalf of Krishna, but we ourselves are detached from it. Like the lotus, Krishna says, like the lotus, it's in the water, but it's not touched by it. The water slides off. So we are living in opulent temple, everything is so opulent, but we ourselves, hey Krishna, where are you? I want to be with you. I want to serve you. You're running to see Krishna. So your heart is with Krishna, even though you're surrounded by opulent. I've been to Grihastha's house in Melbourne. I do program all the time. They've been living a very simple life, in fact. Not everybody is very, very wealthy. You have a big car, European car, in their backyard. Some of you are living a very simple life. So, even if you are surrounded by wealth, but you know that your heart is at the temple. In fact, the house of a devotee, Vaishnava's house, is a temple. Because there you're offering food to Krishna, and you're dressing up for Krishna. So it is all Krishna conscious. The problem is when you become attached to all of that. Even we are attached to eating, Prasadam, Prabhu, that attachment, we have to get rid of the attachment. How we can see Krishna in the middle of all this? So, bhakti yoga means the path of devotion, devotional attitude. Everything we do with that attitude of devotion. How I can please Krishna. They're not dressing up to attract the husband, they're dressing up to attract Krishna. Huh? Get that point? Thinking, Maharaj, you look pretty today. She's dressing up for Krishna, not you.
So we have to always know the principle behind what we do. Otherwise, if we don't see in that way, everything becomes mechanical. Come to the mandir, everything, ha-ha, and chalo. And that's it. We're doing it to please Krishna, we're doing it to please Prabhupada, we're doing it to please our Guru Maharaj, to attract Krishna. We chant the mantra, they evoke the mantra to please the sweet sound of the mantra. Krishna is, we're fanning for Krishna, Prabhupada. That the very beautiful, the very very smooth air that's flowing onto the body of Lord Krishna. It's not a sport thing, very smooth. So he's feeling that comfortness, and he fan Krishna nicely, and then he offer flower to Krishna, very smooth. So you have to see that I am doing to please Krishna. That's the whole idea of the process of Krishna consciousness. Nothing wrong dressing up. Nothing wrong to have everything opulent. But we have to know that the principle behind is that I'm doing it to please my Guru. I'm doing it to please Krishna. That's it. Not that you think, oh no, I'm to have a beer and think of Krishna. This is, like Krishna said, everything is the taste. And that's not on. So when you do something which is not Krishna conscious, you think that it reminds you of Krishna. It doesn't work like that. Because we have to bring this spiritual principle into spiritual life, not material things. We are engaging the material thing in Krishna service, but we don't get bound to it. So you go to work, but your mind is thinking, I want to be with Krishna, I want to be in the temple. Even though you're working, but how you can work without at the same time thinking of Krishna? Don't worry about that. At least you have chanted your rounds, you chanted Hare Krishna, you're calling for Krishna. Your work will get better. By His mercy, everything will go smoothly. So, the Hare Krishna movement is this movement is to attract people from all background. So sometimes people, they criticize Hare Krishna if people, live such an opulent life. You go to India, I remember when I first saw the ISKCON devotees, they were wearing silk and nice dresses and watch and going in a car. I said, how we can be sadhu? Because in India we know sadhu means like it's best here, matted hair and no shoes and very rag clothes, stuff like that. And then I thought, when I saw this kind of devotee, I said, I want to be here. I like this idea. Wear nice clothes, have nice food. I didn't like to be a sadhu or ragged clothes and matted hair. So I really liked this kind so much. And, the prasadam was coming up from the second floor in Mayapur, very, very fragrant. I said, wow. In every Indian Hindu temple, they just give you one box with just one glove and some. That's it. They pack it and give it to you. And when you come here, they have like full plate and steaming hot. And you can eat seconds, thirds. So I think this is a good idea to have Krishna consciousness up to your full, not just a little bit. So Prabhupada expanded Krishna consciousness in a big way. And sometime they saw in Bengal, some Mataji's, they wear saffron. I don't know what they got it from. They were like a sannyasi. And in dancing, they said, this is the upper sampradaya. They're not in line. They're just speculating. And they have long hair, and they're doing this. The hair goes in the front, comes back in front of Durga. Some kind of a dance. And then, when I came to the Hare Krishna temple, and I saw the Westerners, they dress so nicely, and they're dancing in front of Radha Krishna. I said, this is so attractive. And you know, the hippies, the people from really bad backgrounds,
the drug addicts, you know, they come to the temple and they're attracted to our attractive devotees. They look at themselves, oh, I'm such a bum. I want to be like these people. So they take up also Krishna consciousness. If one guy comes here and he has a dirty sock and very dirty, and nobody wants to be around him, he himself will feel very shy. So we created an ashram to make the devotees highest class, best brahmanas. Brahmana means one who's clean, pakka, perfect in every way. I remember this one, my friend and a couple there, they came to the Hare Krishna temple. They were hippies. They used to come and eat in our restaurant. So I used to preach them every day, you know. You cut your hair and then and you come here and you look nice and we'll support you. And so they joined up and they became very nice devotees. They were like hippies. So Prabhupada always preached Krishna consciousness to create this highest standard of bhakti yoga. Highest standard. You're from India, you don't have to tell you. I don't have to tell you, oh, you cut your hair. You already know. But that's why the Indian people say, oh, I already know. Don't tell me. But foreigners are doing it. Of course, now foreigners are going, Indians are doing it. So you became your devotees, Hare Krishna devotees in ISKCON Melbourne, not in India. You used to go to the temple in India, but you didn't become a devotee. You came here, you became a devotee. That means Srila Prabhupada's temple is so attractive, you became attractive. And all the people that are working hard out there, they're frustrated in life. Disease, birth, old age, it's all such a suffering, miserable material world. And right now, there's all this disease going around. Everyone's talking about the disease. Devotees here, they don't talk about any disease. We're only thinking Shan Hare Krishna. They're worried because the economy is just going down and down. So Krishna is going to create a situation when everybody has to turn to Krishna. When everyone's so miserable and there's nothing but God. That's going to happen. Sooner or later. Don't think that every day we go out and we work, come home, and this we're just going to go on and on. Have a good life. This is not going to always... This is miserable. This has to stop. So Krishna's creating Vaikuntha, spiritual world in this world, in this material world, Vaikuntha. And nobody wants it, but Krishna is going to create, like I said, situation where everything is going to be so miserable that they're going to be running for God. Because it's got to be that way. So we need to make Krishna consciousness so attractive and so beautiful that when people come here, they want to be here. They don't want to go home. We have to like say, please, we have to close the door now. People want to be here. Hanging around. They love you so much. This is what happens. There was Brahmananda Swami, one of the Swami, when he first became a devotee, he didn't like, he wants to go out. So he was in the ashram, and Srila Prabhupada made gulab jamuns. You know, gulab jamuns. You all know gulab jamuns, right? So, couple Sundays ago, I made gulab jamuns for Sunday feast. 1,000 pieces. And nobody makes it because it's a lot of work. So I had to make the day before. And one of the boys said, I had 10 gulab jamuns. I said, you know, was that enough for other people? So, Brahman Swami, he was thinking, I don't want to be a devotee and I want to go and leave the Hare Krishna. So when he's walking out, and he saw this big bowl of gulab jamuns on the doorstep. He said, oh, I got to have one. If I go, I take a couple. And it's very sweet and very heavy. And if you have one, you want to eat another one. So he kept eating. Maybe I had 10. And after that, he was feeling very drowsy and all the sugar. So he went back in and slept.
And then that's how you became a devotee. You never left. We have to make Krishna consciousness very enjoyable. Shushukam kortam abhayam. Krishna said, devotional service is very enjoyable. It's not that you are doing it because you have to do it. It's not like a duty. I gotta do it. I don't like it, but I have to do it. You know, you're not enjoying it. You have to enjoy Krishna consciousness. Enjoy means that you see you are doing it to please Krishna. And Krishna is happy. And sometimes I've seen the devotees, they complain, oh, I got it like me. I have to cook today and this again. So now I go in the kitchen and the devotees are singing. They're walking around singing. I'm thinking, wow. And they were just before they got in the kitchen, they were complaining. They said, oh no, I don't want to do this service. Even though I'm volunteering, but I really feel like doing it. But once they're in the kitchen, they're in ecstasy. They're happy. They're moving around, singing, and I have never seen, 4 years now almost, never seen an accident. Everybody is enjoying. So what is the austerity in Krishna consciousness? And when I came in here, one of the festival, and somebody gave me, I went to do a home program, and they gave me a set of clothes. A silk dhoti, silk kurta, silk chadar, silk beadbag. So, wow, I only wanted a silk. I got a pair. So I was wearing silk dhoti here. Everybody said, what happened to you, Prabhu? So I look always flashy, you know. Usually all scruffy. And so you think, wow. So they're looking at me instead of looking at the deity. So I'm thinking, this is not a good idea. We are supposed to attract Krishna, but everyone. So then I didn't wear it after that. So we have to know that if I'm able to actually attract Krishna. So if you're enjoying Krishna consciousness, you are not seeing yourself as the center of everything. You're putting Krishna in the center. Sometimes I'm singing here, Bodha Chalaga, and I feel good, you know, singing and everyone's dancing. But that you're meant to enjoy that. If that enjoyment is not there, what else are you going to enjoy? Isn't it? But still, there's a subtle ego is there inside. I'm doing it, it feels good. But you have to get rid of that. The ego in the bottom of your heart, that subtle ego, that's what gets us. See? So, Grihasthas, particularly in this purport, Prabhupada is very strongly saying, you know, you're men, women, you're associating. And we are very strict about, you know, brahmacharis. We don't even look at the Mataji's. I have an hour time where if I have to give something to Mataji, I go, hurry up, Mataji. Look the other way. So I thought to myself, this is very rude. It doesn't matter if they're human beings, you know, they're devotees. I should look at them. So I went to Mayapur and somehow we are taught to wear nice clothes, like silk, flashy. So I was in Mayapur. And so there was this one Mataji used to come to the ashram and deliver bread, you know, from Radha Madhava. You have to make an order. So she used to make, offer to Radha Madhava and bring, deliver to the Brahmachari ashram down at the Gurukul area. So she used to, add Brahmachari. And so she bought bread and cinnamon rolls and all the things I like. And I was supposed to pay her. So I had, and people are watching, other Brahmacharis, sannyasis, they're all saying, Mataji's coming to your ashram. So I would come to the door, and I had my dhoti like this. I said, put it in there, and here's the money. It's very rude. So everybody said, pretty good. You did good. You're a good Brahmachari. But I'm buying bread from a Mataji, and then I have to give her money. So, it doesn't say much. You're taking service from a Mataji, you're a Brahmachari, they're cooking bread for you. Okay, you're paying because you got money. So, I don't think it's a good idea. But the point I'm making is that you do so your service, but don't hover in your mind thinking, oh, this is Mataji, Mataji. Think of Krishna. Finish. So, the whole idea of ashram, Pranashram, ashram. Grihastha ashram, sannyasa ashram, and brahmacharya ashram. These are different ashrams. The idea of ashram is to, we are situated in a different ashram, but the point of being in that ashram is to be Krishna conscious. So it's not that you are grihastha means you can unlimitedly enjoy sex life. That is all nonsense. I know brahmacharis, grihastha, they don't have this idea at all. Your idea is to serve each other, like Prabhupada says here, is to make yourself Krishna conscious. So husband and wife, they're serving Krishna together, reading Bhagavatam together, cutting fruit for Radha Balava together. You got the one is reading Krishna book. That's the idea. And if you have children, you make them Krishna conscious. Otherwise, don't have children. Travel around husband and wife like a sannyasini. Not everybody can do that. And like, the first time, and they will tell you, what's the point of having, if you agree, what's the point if you don't have children? Some are very strong about that. They didn't have children. And some say, no, just wait around, give some time, you know. But it's okay if you're going to make your children Krishna conscious. Like that Kadamukaran Maharaj was saying once, you know, the Indian children, you go to Australian school, you are an Aussie. And then you come back at home, you're Indian. Or is a roti, and they're eating sandwich. It's not like that. You have to always emphasize Krishna consciousness from home. Don't think temple's only home. Devotee home, like I said, devotee home is a temple also. So you're training, the whole process of our Krishna consciousness is to train each other to become Krishna conscious. The temple is a training place. So you have children, the training never stops. It's very difficult. It's like you've got the dogs, they go all over the place, you have to pull them back. But I'm not saying your children are dogs, but you need to train them all the time, very strongly. Stop! There, you're very heavy. Give them a danda. They said if you hit the children, it's child abuse. When I was in India, I got beaten up like anything. That's why I'm still here. Sometimes we don't beat them enough, or we're spoiling them. We got to do them in a way that they are accepting it. Sweet and sour. I lived in China. My favorite sabji, sweet and sour. Give them a slap and a sweet. It's not always like that. You have to enjoy it. You have to like it. If somebody doesn't like it, you have to learn how to teach them in a sweet way. Isn't it? So always give them a stick doesn't work. So sense enjoyment is why we are here in the material world. The sense gratification. Krishna created this material world so we can enjoy here. But actually there's nothing to enjoy. It's all suffering. If the husband and wife, they're traveling, preaching, there's the enjoyment. Once you have a child, that's it, Baba. You got stuck. You have to stay. You can't travel. It's like having a pet in a home. And you want to go traveling, you have to give the pet somewhere, you have to pay for it. So, but people don't travel because they have a pet. Similarly, if you have children, you have to make sure that they're okay, they're Krishna conscious, not just having for the sake of having. Cat and dog, they have too many. Fish have thousands of eggs, one time. There's no responsibility. So our principle as grihastha is to make our children Krishna conscious. How to do that? You have to be Krishna conscious yourself. Like if you're telling, don't smoke and you're smoking, they're going to ask you why you're smoking. So you say, Sari Ravi Daja, you offer the food, and then you don't offer it or munch. You didn't say prayers. They'll remind you, isn't it? Here I go, I'm talking to you. So devotees have to be very mindful that, and then when they grow up, they take off. They don't want to be devotee. That's
Don't worry about that. At least when they're young, make them Krishna conscious. It's very difficult. People are like, brahmachari, I know a lot of brahmacharis are like, running to become grihastha, but just wait, Baba, wait. You know, the suffering, you don't want to accept the suffering too fast. You all know. So, sometimes, I remember some Krishna Maharaj used to always say, I trust the grihasthas, because there's no fake being a grihastha. You have to accept the responsibility. A lot of hardship. You have to work, get the money, get everything, be on top of it, paying all the bills and this and that. Even if you own a home in Australia, you still need to pay a lot of bills. Water bill, electricity bills, buy all the groceries. It adds up. Maybe $500 a week. In India, you can enjoy, like go to the bazaar. Maybe it's more expensive now. So there's no shortcut. On top of all that, you need to chant your rounds, 16 rounds. How do you chanting japa and driving? That's like on the phone, and you get tangled up, you have an accident. Plus, you're not paying attention, look at the road. So you have to make a habit of chanting your rounds, quality rounds, somehow. Before sleep, maybe. I know, sometimes I do this and that, and I still have rounds to do. By the time you are exhausted, tired, and you're time to sleep, I still have a few rounds. But I tell myself, finish round before sleep, I don't care. So you're very strong with yourself. You can't live in the ashram that you're living in forever. Think, I'm a grihastha for eternally. Nobody says that. Short, everything is short time we hear. Your family, your children, this is all short time. Our real family is Krishna. Prabhupada. Prabhupada family, Krishna's family. It's a much bigger family than your tiny little family. So try to see in a transcendental way. So we think, it's all mine. This is the Maya. Think everything is mine. You have to say everything is Krishna's. Just like all the devotees here in Melbourne, you're all very good grihasthas. Because I was here this morning, 4 o'clock, there was no man, no one from the temple, all Maharajis here. And they were chanting, really sincerely. I said, wow, Krishna might be dancing in front of them. He was chanting, some of the Maharajis. The temple was full. And your children, they are all here, Bhagavatam, listening. So it's wonderful. Setting a good example for the rest of the movement. And I went to one temple, it was Villa Vrindavana. That's in Florence, in Italy. So the Grihastha people, they invited me because I was ex-Gurukul. So they have a lot of ex-Gurukul. And they are really in Maya. They had the training and everything. And they're all going out, girls and this, that. Some of them even taking drugs, who knows. So I went, they had all the ex-Gurukulis. Because I was like the older ex-Gurukuli. So I spoke to them. So the parents say, my daughter, my son, they're demigods. You know, they're born in ISKCON and they came from heaven. So I had to explain nicely without hurting anybody. I said, maybe you were a demigod once, but you're not anymore. Not, we're fallen demigod. Sometimes the Indians say, I already know. We try to sell a book. Okay. I already have it at home. Don't give me this. So we said, no. We are reminding you, forgotten. So we may think, our sons and our daughter, they are demigod. You know, while they're taking, drugs. So we need to give them Krishna conscious from an early age, and in the hope that if when they grow up, if they go away, it will remind them of Krishna, and they will come back. If they're in trouble, they will go, actually, I should be Krishna conscious. And many are coming back. This is the idea. It's a gamble, but spiritual gamble. You take the risk. But there's no risk. Because they say when the bamboo is soft, you can bend it. Right? They use the bamboo, you can bend it like this, make a bow. But when it's very hard, you cannot. So they grow up, you guys grow up. I went to one home program, all
they are like semi-devotee, beginners, Prakta-bhiksha. And one Mataji says, what to do? Her son is want to eat meat. And he was there. And so I had to explain to them. And she said, she was saying that they want to go to McDonald's and eat meat, and they want to become devotee, come to the temple. So it's a very big challenge for them. And so I told them that you bring them here. Because here have all these nice devotee kids, they can play. Because they are associating with karmis too much, they want to be like that. So that's why we have the temple. The children come to temple, they develop an attachment for deities, for the temple lifestyle, devotional lifestyle. They want to hang around here, they play. Some people say, oh, these kids are playing around too much. Let them play, they like it here. Otherwise they play with karmic kids. So the idea is sangha, associate with devotees. Then they will develop this taste for devotional life. So you're always associating with karmis, they want to be like karmis. You go to school only, when you come back, bring them to the temple. Bring them to the program. That's the whole idea. So we have, and I went to Gurukul in Mayapur and Vrindavan. That was in the 70s. Very tough. Went to Vrindavan, Gurukul, they're all from America. I was the only Indian boy. Prabhupada sent them to Vrindavan because our Gurukul was in Dallas. And all the parents, they were coming to visit them, so they could not make them Krishna conscious because they were interrupted by the parents. So Prabhupada said, bring them to Vrindavan, away from their home. So, to develop this austerity, detachment from the early age. And they're all getting sick because in India, you know, the water is terrible, and Vrindavan especially. And if you take a shower, if you want to take a hot shower, you have to get up 2 o'clock in the morning because you have the electric, you put in the bucket. And sometimes the bucket will melt because it's a plastic bucket. So it's a big trouble. They said in America we have hot water. And I said, you know, Prabhupada sent you here to do austerity. Take a cold shower. I was their monitor. I said, get up, you know. So hard to wake them up. The hardest thing for us to wake someone up for Mangalarti. That was my job, to wake people up. Boys, they're just so hard. I used to pray to Krishna, please help me to wake these boys up. And then they hate me like anything for days. And so I just take the blanket and throw it somewhere else. They have to get up in winter time. So the idea is to somehow give them Krishna consciousness in a way that they'll accept. Not always beating them or anything. It's in a sweet way. I told the story of Jayapataka Maharaj. You know, he was, one time he was our ashram teacher in Mayapur. Because they didn't have enough teachers. They didn't have any Indians to become a teacher. And they had, only person who was teacher was Pankajanga Jananibhas. But they are also doing puja. They didn't have enough teachers. So Jayapataka Maharaj said, I'll volunteer to wake them up. Stuff. And so they started this 24-hour kirtan in Mayapur. Those days in Mayapur, they didn't have much to eat. You know, so we really appreciated this prasadam. Like, we didn't waste one grain of rice. So they asked me to do kirtan while doing the prasadam time. I said to Prabhu, that's not wrong. You know, I need to take prasadam. You know, you're making me chant, you know, kirtan while everyone's eating. So I was really mad at him. He said, I said, make sure there is this big plate of rice and dal sabji put nicely. And so I was thinking, Hare Krishna, they're just only me singing. There's not enough people. Kartal, and I was just dozing off. I said, and I look at the clock every time. So then was prasadam was finished. Then I went straight for prasadam. And first thing, there was two sannyasis sitting there next to my plate. I said, oh, they're sitting next to my plate. And it was Jayapataka Maharaj. Because he always comes late, because he's too busy with meeting and stuff. Him and that one, Bhakti
Tita Swami. So they're both sitting there, and Jayapataka Maharaj was next to my plate, the other Maharaj was on the other side. So I looked at the plate, this must rise, everything so little. So I just kicked the plate, and it went all over Maharaj. You know, and he was wearing silk and everything. Because those days he had to wear silk, because Prabhupada was wearing. So then I was thinking, I'm going to be finished now. You know, they're going to like kick me out and stuff. So I didn't care. So Maharaj took me in the kitchen and he said, you know, this is not the way to behave. You know, first of all, you're offending Prasadam. This is different from Krishna. No respect at all. And you're all over me. You don't have respect for sannyasi. And he could have like beat me up with a stick and stuff and throw him in a dungeon. But he was very nice. He spoke to me very nicely. I was really attracted. I was crying. I said, Maharaj, I'll never do it again. Because the way he was saying, it was so sweet and so, you know, so very nice. So I was thinking, if someone else had beat me up, I'd do it again, maybe. You know, revenge. But Maharaj did it in a way that I was very attracted. So he knew that how to tell others in a way that they can accept. Someone else, maybe they need to stick, but not me. They stick me, then I stick them back, you know, like, or something. Go around, create a trouble, you know, you make a group, gunda and all these things. A lot of issues. So, preaching Krishna consciousness is actually a technique. We have to know how to tell others someone may be not deserve, someone may need, accordingly. So as a parent, also, it's not always, the sweetness in Krishna consciousness is in the preaching. Dynamic preaching is when we can preach Krishna consciousness very attractive to others. It becomes very dynamic. It becomes very joyful. But if we don't have the attitude of making others Krishna conscious, then it becomes very dry. We're doing it routinely. Every day, get up, chat, sleep, bang. Next day, like a machine. But we have to do, we are doing it because we know this is a preaching movement. How we can attract others, conditioned soul, to make them Krishna conscious. So, you know, it's very difficult in a childhood to bring up Krishna consciousness. Grihastha has a big challenge. You know, become a Grihastha, you know, you become a young boy and you meet a young girl and you get married and you're thinking, bodha chahe sab, you know, I feel really good in the beginning. But the responsibility is there, isn't it? The responsibility is not only to take care of the family materially, you know, on top of all the bills and get a house and everything, but also your Krishna consciousness, chanting your rounds, coming to the temple, associating with devotees, doing some deity worship. Not only once a week. I know this Maharaji, Prithilakshma Maharaji and Shukadev Prabhu and many, all the leaders, they're all struggling to get so cook. Oh, I need to go to India. Oh, I'm off the altar. You know, how's the struggle? So, it's a challenge to be Krishna conscious. And we don't have, you know, Brahmana. So see that you try to encourage yourself that I'm here to serve Krishna. In the beginning, oh yeah, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And take prasadam and everything's very ecstatic. It's very jolly. And this Hare Krishna, I want to be whole life devotee. Going back to Godhead, yeah. After some time, Prabhu, you know, you need to do this service. You need to do this. Start to dry up. You start to become, actually, I didn't think it's going to be all this work. I thought just going to be taking prasadam and Hare Krishna every day, chanting. You're missing. Chanting Hare Krishna, singing and dancing, studying, this part of the process, and doing service, devotional service. That is the responsibility. Not, oh yeah, I'll be a Grihastha, no problem. You know, they're not seeing, it's all in the facade, in the front. Oh, looks all nice. But when you're associating with the Mataji, you know, there's another story, right? Maybe, you know, and fighting and things happen. Yeah. And the demons, teeth come out. Everybody's demon in Kali Yuga. Men and women, all. So don't think that everything's wore off. So Krishna consciousness brings it out. We're exposed. We want to be exposed. If you give me water, I have to check. Is not poison, or is not milk, is water, you know. We want to make sure that what's going in, it's going to be healthy for us. So that exposure is good. Then we can challenge ourselves to accept what is going to make us Krishna conscious. Everything is smooth, all heavenly, then you never want to go back to Godhead. So there is misery, there is suffering. The ashram is there to create this ashram, different ashrams there to uplift us to the next level. You understand? Next level. Brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. Sannyasi, I'm a sannyasi, I have to have my stick, and that's it. There's no such thing as you go to sannyasi loka where everybody's holding a stick and there's a grihastha. No, this is a spiritual world. Golok Vrindavan. Everybody's serving Krishna. You are there, grihastha, brahmacharya, everybody's serving Krishna, that's all. You know, so this temple, if you have different ashram, the idea of ashram is that, okay, you want, not everyone's going to be a brahmachari, you want to be a grihastha, fine. You don't have so many kids, fine. If you can make them Krishna conscious, that's fantastic. You have 10 kids, go to chat, no problem. You have like a gurukul, you can start your own gurukul in your home. But the idea, it's not easy to maintain and make them Krishna conscious. One is already a challenge. They're going to, papa, papa, I want this, I want that. They're going to drive you nuts. So then they're asking you, papa, papa, I want to go to the temple. I want to chant japa. I want to associate devotees. Teach me Mridanga, harmonium. They're going to, papa, papa, I want to go somewhere else. Isn't it? Not everybody is Prahlad Maharaj. So there's going to be a lot of challenge. So you need to pray to Krishna. Pray to Guru Maharaj. Please make me Krishna conscious. Make me a good devotee. Uplift me from lust, anger, and greed, sense enjoyment. It's not that just all of a sudden you don't touch the ground anymore because you are free from lust, anger, and greed because you chant Hare Krishna, because you initiated. No, challenge is always there. We have to follow the principle. We have to follow the principle always. If you don't follow the principle, then thora thora, I just break a little bit, not a problem. That's where the problem is. You break the principle a little bit, then even more, a little bit more, and a little bit more. Before you know it, you've broken the principle. Yeah. So don't give yourself a hint of yourself to allow yourself to break the principle. Be strict. Prabhupada was very strict. Good to be strict. We're not going to be here forever. Be strict. We are very lucky people. We can be Krishna conscious. We have the highest gift of love for God. We have the highest gift, bhakti, love for Krishna. What else you want? You can't love your family. There's always breakup and stuff. People don't like you. Krishna loves us. He's always there for us. Playing flute. Come on to me. Come. That's why he's playing flute. He's calling us. Not always calling the cows. He's also calling us with his flute. So, the principle of devotional service is that we become attached to Krishna, detached from material sense enjoyment. Sense enjoyment is the problem. It's weighing us down like a brick. You're swimming in the river, a big, big heavy river flowing, current, with a brick on your head, on your back, you go down. So material desire, sense gratification, weighs us down like a ton of brick. You have to just take it, throw it. And you feel, very light. Feels good. You know, sometimes when you don't eat, I say, everybody's so crazy about eating, I'm not going to eat today. Tell myself, no eating. Then you give me all the nice food. And then I feel so light, I feel fantastic. I haven't died because I didn't eat. Maybe when you're a kid, you need to eat. But that's like already like 50 years, and I can go without eating a day or two. I mean, I ate fruit for one whole week. Fruit, only fruit. They say you're a bird, you know, eat fruit. And when I was doing kirtan, I was feeling dizzy. I couldn't play the mridanga, and they had me dancing like this. My arms are almost coming out of the here because it's like a fruit. So we need to eat, but we eat just so we can do service to Krishna. Always don't overeat, don't over-enjoyment. Over-enjoyment, think, oh, I drink all night, and then, you see, people who drink all night, they can't get up in the morning, they have a headache. We don't drink alcohol, we drink hot milk. So good. And we take prasadam, without eating chocolate, we have sweet rice, halava. Much more better sweet, not concentrated sweet. Prabhupada was walking and he says, and a Westerner, and his teeth was gone. Prabhupada said, I'm 70-year-old, I have all my teeth. He said, I eat rasgulla and sweet rice, so much sweet. And you eat chocolate. Your teeth gone. Also, not only chocolate, they also drink. So it's killing the teeth. So enjoyment is there, but you need to refine it. Don't just eat up to your neck that you can't even breathe. Right? If you want to chant Hare Krishna. So everything you need to refine. Not too much, not too little. You want to have 10 kids, fine, then you have to make Krishna conscious them. Make them Krishna conscious. Otherwise, just have one. If you don't want, just live together, serve Krishna. Fine. It's a good life. Husband, wife, travel and preach. That's fantastic. You see, Burijan Prabhu and his wife, they travel around. What a good life. Everybody serving you. You know, if you're a grihastha, nobody cares. You know, like, you have to get your own job and get money and everything. But if you're preaching, when it's for Krishna, Krishna will personally supply. You do your fall, every do your, when you want to do for yourself, there's a challenge. Krishna says, those who serve me, I take care of them. We expect Krishna to take care of us when we don't return service to him. But still take care of us. That's his mercy. But we need to wake up that human life is meant to serve Krishna, to go back to Krishna, go back to Godhead. Our existence is why we're all here, because we're here to go back to God. That's why we're here. Otherwise, pew, four-legged animal. You can't come temple anymore. So human life has a great responsibility. Not just your own family. Like I said, we are a big family of Krishna. Prabhupada's family. Everybody here is family of Krishna. But you have to idea, the idea of everything, you have to make everybody Krishna conscious, starting from your own family. That's the, okay. Any questions? I hope you all got the point I'm talking about. I don't talk like this with the people who are not devotees. Because you are devotees, we can say something heavy because you can accept it. Because you all follow family, you all friends and sisters and brothers like this. Any questions? Maharajis, man, yes.
Thank you for wonderful class. Many times because of our previous habits or conditioning, the material desires keep popping up in mind. Even though we have been chanting for many years, associating with devotees, having prasadam, but this desires keeps popping up. So it seems almost impossible to get rid of them.
First of all, it's not impossible because there are devotees who are like the sannyasis, who are very strict devotees. So if they can do it, they're also human beings. So it's not impossible. It's all, Krishna says, the problem is the mind. We need to overcome the mind. Because the mind is, we are hovering on the mental platform. So once you overcome the mind and your senses, even the yoga teaches you to rise above pain and pleasure. So we are contemplating on the sense objects. Then the Krishna says the taste for higher taste doesn't come. It's blocking. So sense enjoyment is not always sense enjoyment, but people want to become good devotees and serve Krishna, but the mind, the principle of mind is that same mind we had in different bodies, and it brings back the memories from past life, even dreaming. So It's a challenge. It's not that it's easy. Nobody says it's easy. But that challenge we accept on behalf of Krishna. That is to express our love for Krishna. You think the material life is easy. You know, you get married, you have children, you have to educate them. It requires money. It requires to buy a home. So many things. This is why people drop out all that, because sannyasi. I mean, you know? So you did all that, obviously you can do it for Krishna too. If you can work so hard to make everything go materially, you know, on top of all that, and for become Krishna conscious, it's a less challenge, actually. You don't have to do all that. You can drop all that. You can just chant Hare Krishna. Krishna didn't say, like, you need to do this, do that. He said, chant Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sing. That's all. So easy. So, but we make trouble for ourselves. We are making it difficult for ourselves. Process is actually easy. We are making it difficult for ourselves. Nobody told you to go and embrace the sense enjoyment, but people are doing it. But to become Krishna conscious, it is easy. But nobody wants to do it. They want the hard life. So, we need to preach to ourselves. That's why Sadhu Sangha is there. This way, sitting in this class, I'm telling you. Then, I got the point. Then you will make an effort. So that's why Bhagavatam class, Associated Devotee, Chaitanya Hare Krishna, these things gives us the spiritual power. Then it will give the Shakti. That's Prabhupada can bless us. Sadhu, the blessing is Prabhu bless me. There is blessing, but we also need to make the effort. I bless you, and then you go away, and every day is the same. Blessing is always there, but we need to make an effort. Yeah? If I'm reading the kirtan here, everybody is standing like this. You know, they do that outside. In the temple, we dance. You have to get up the mental platform, your ego, your this desire, that desire. Throw it outside, like you're leaving the shoes outside, and chant and dance, hands in the air. Surrender, Krishna, I love you, I want to serve you. Give your hand. Then you feel. But you're just licking the outside of a jar of honey. You're never going to know what the honey is like. You have to drink it. Drink the pure nectar of the holy name through chanting and dancing, hearing Bhagavatam, associating devotees. Then it will come. There's no challenge. The challenge is, only challenge is, we need to just do it. If we don't do it, we're going to always on the surface, whole life. Yeah, then have to again. So, yes, sir.
Thanks for the question, Rich. And my question is, you are saying that, you know, we have to be, you know, make our family, kids, everybody Krishna conscious, right? So, in my house, not in my family, they always complain to me that, you know, I'm irresponsible, I'm kind of selfish, because, you know, I go to the temple, okay, and they say that at home. Okay, my wife has to do her daily routine, right? Take care of her kids, sending them to school, make them study, okay? I just go to the temple without even, you know, caring about them much. I do care, but, you know, but when, you know, when compared to my wife, right, my contribution is way less.
Okay.
Be it to my kids, be it to my parents, anyway, right? So this is the, you know, practical difficulty which I'm missing.
I know what you mean, because I'm just saying this, but I don't have the responsibility. You know it better, so you understand it. So it's difficult for you, but I understand it's difficult. But like I said, in the midst of this difficult, if you can make a little bit of an effort to love Krishna and serve Krishna, Krishna will make it easy for you. He's Bhagwan. He's God. He can bless you. He can make it all easy for you. But the idea of human life, the purpose of human life, ultimately, you can hold on to your family all your life. We have to get old and die one day. Everybody. So, you can be in your family and provide, like I said, Krishna said, sitting the lotus leaf in the water, not touched by it. So, you're providing, you keep them happy, So they don't have nothing to complain. And then you can run to temple a little bit, pray and go back. So make some adjustments. You have to make adjustments. You can't say, oh, I'm going to temple, become a sadhu and giving all up. We have a family already. That you could say when you're single. So now you have to make adjustment, but be tricky. You have to be very smart to be Krishna conscious in that situation. So when you have your, in that situation, you have to pray to Krishna. Now you drop and go. So there's so many things that you need to also pray to Krishna and He'll help you to become more, He'll give you blessing. A lot of the time, that's the only way. And if you have a lot of money and you have a place, everything, then you have enough time to give to Krishna. And then if you bring your family here, they like all the devotees, the food and everything here, they will become more Krishna conscious. So it's a sangha. So more you associate with this kind of people, devotees, they will become like the devotees. So if you're trying to make them yourself, it's very difficult. You bring them here, very nice place, you can play around here and see the devotee. They see all the other Indian chanting and they become attracted. So on our own it's difficult. So you also be, that's what I mean when I say you need to be more smart, how to make people Krishna conscious, your family.
Yeah, see, they also like, that's why they call me Sankarji, because they also want to come. Okay.
That's good.
But they have work.
Oh.
So that's what I'm saying. Because I'm leaving them at home and I come here, they call me Sankarji.
Then you get a place near the temple here, and you all can come, somehow. But it's not easy, but I understand, it's not easy. As long as they have initial desire to become to see the devotees, to come to the temple, they have some slightest desire, then Krishna will assist. But if they don't make that effort a little bit, even desire, then it's never going to happen. So that's like a lighting a fire. It starts off a little bit and then there is a fire. So if they have some desire to come and they allow you to come, that's already good. Then you can somehow inspire them. At least you are coming. One person from the family. But if they're inimical, that's a different thing. So there is a fire, a starting point, right? No question from the ladies? This class is all for you.
Just tell me not to call me
again. Why you have to worry? Because your hair is already combed.
Yeah, you should stop combing.
Well, sometime, what Prabhupada is saying here, sometimes we get carried away, we're overdoing it. And comb, get many different types of comb, which one you choose, and the hair should be. Devotees don't have to worry about these things. Prabhupada is just writing this general thing for how people are so engrossed in it. Devotees don't have to worry, because you all, unless you don't cover your hair, then you're showing it. But if you're showing it, then you need to comb it nicely. But then you don't get carried away that you comb hours and hours at home, combing it and putting the coconut oil and this oil and that oil. And you know, this is maya. So we just do a little bit just so we can be clean. Not that we are spending all our life. That's what Prabhupada is saying.
That means not wasting much of time.
Yeah. At the same time, we need to see the principle behind of our appearance, our looks. It's basic. So, you know, it's nice when Maharajis wear jewelry, this, that. You come here like a, somebody, you know, living in a bum in the street. You dress nicely, so you can attract Krishna. People come here, they see that these are nice people living here, clean people and stuff. And we have tilak, and this is actually a decoration in the body. You know. And then every day is a festival, so you wear nice clothes. But the idea is not that you become attached to it and do all this fancy stuff. I know I lived in Hong Kong, there was one Indian mother used to come to the temple. You know, the Chinese people, they wear sari, they're very nice, Westerners. And this Indian mother would come like overly dressed, jewelry hanging here, up to the neck, and knee and opening here, and one goes down here, feet and hand. That's overly doing it. Okay, not, you know, that's on a festival day or something, not even then. So that's, everybody's like, wow, what is he? You know, like, So you see what is what's the level? Common thing. So Prabhupada is saying in a general way. Okay. I have to stop here after 9. Hare Krishna.